Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series, and this is the Crossing the Exile, where we take a look at the exile, our journey, and Jesus explaining to us how important every day of our journey is. It's so beautiful. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. I'm going to bring that up now, and I'm going to bring in Maureen. Hello, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
Great to have you, Marie. So,
Good to
Marie,
be
we're
here.
going to begin with the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. Day 24 is the supplication. In the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lesson of the Mother Queen. Now, dear daughter, listen to how much I and this dear baby love you. For at the first dawn of his life, he goes into exile and into a foreign land in order to free you from the exile in which your human will put you, so as to call you back to live, not in a foreign land, but in your fatherland, which was given to you by God when you were created. That is, the kingdom of the supreme fiat. Daughter of my heart, have pity on the tears of your mother and on the tears of this sweet dear baby, as we, crying, ask you never to do your will, but come back, we pray you, we implore you, into the bosom of the divine will, which so much longs for you. The soul to our Queen. Most sweet Mama, how much I thank you for making me comprehend the great evil of the human will. Therefore, I pray you, for the sake of the sorrow you suffered in the exile of Egypt, to make my soul go out of the exile of my will and to make me repatriate to the dear fatherland of the divine will. Little sacrifice, today to honor me, you will offer your actions united with mine in act of gratitude to the holy baby, praying him to enter into the Egypt of your heart in order to change it all into will of God. Ejaculatory prayer. My Mama, enclose little Jesus in my heart that he may reorder it all into divine will. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son,
and
of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful prayer. And, you know, Maureen, we talk about the exile and everything that God has given us in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Everything has been for our notification, for lack of a better word, to us to recognize everything that we're going to be going through. Jesus has already presented in some form to each and every one of us, and we can learn from which how those around Jesus responded to him, and also on how some of them reacted to him in a positive and not so positive way. And just so beautiful. You know, Maureen, before we start with the program, I'd like to just read a little bit from Volume 16, December 26, 1923. This is the passage where Jesus states that every day, for those journeying in the divine will, every day is as if it was Christmas. Because remember, Christmas is when Jesus was given to us. He's given to us every day. Every time we open the book or listen to the volumes or anything that Louisa penned for Jesus and Mary, that we're growing, we're taking those strides, those steps into our exile. Remember, the exile that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph endured, they fled, they were outcast, just like we are right now. We're out of the kingdom, basically. We're out of the Eden, but they made the best use of it. And when they got to Egypt, what did Jesus do? He didn't just sit back and do nothing. He worked in that foreign land. He did what he could. That's what God wants to see us do. He knows our frailties. He knows our wretchedness, not our deliberate sinfulness necessarily, but our inability to do anything very well. He knows that. And he says, I take more joy in seeing the soul who's struggling on the earth, in the world today, trying to get back to that fatherland. He says, I take greater joy in that soul than the souls in heaven. Because again, the souls in heaven, they're in the divine will, in essence, for lack of a better phrase, because they have to be. we have a choice. We have our free will. We can accept God. We can decline God. And he's so grateful that every one of us, when we do make that step forward and we give that fiat, we say, yes, we say, I trust you. I love you. And then how do we prove it? Well, we have to do what he's asking us to do. And he tells us everything that needs to be done. The blueprint is given to us in the book of heaven. So this is what I'm going to read, the one little paragraph. Again, volume 16, December 26, 1923, quote, and he, Jesus, moving in my interior, added, my daughter, for the one who does my will, it is always Christmas. As the soul enters my will, I am conceived in her act. And as she performs her act, I develop my life. As she completes her act, I rise again. And the soul remains conceived in me, develops her life in mine, and rises again in my own acts. See then how Christmas holidays are for those who once a year prepare and place themselves in my grace. And so they feel something new about my birth within them. But for one who does my will, it is always Christmas. I am born again in each one of their acts. So would you want me to be born in you once a year? No, no. For one who does my will, my birth, my life, my death, and my resurrection must be a continuous act, which is never interrupted. Otherwise, what would be the difference? The immeasurable distance from the other sanctities, end quote. So again, Jesus explains to us what he's giving us every day. He's explaining to us how he treats those souls in adversity, in the trials of our day-to-day operational lives. And as we give our fiat and combat those crosses, you know, I was talking to somebody earlier today who's in charge of a cynical group, and we were talking about the cross. And I mentioned this, where I'll bring it out real quickly because I still have it. It's volume 3, December 2nd, 1899. Quote, the cross is so powerful that when I communicated so much grace to it, it became more effective than the sacraments themselves. And this is because in receiving the sacrament of my body, the soul's dispositions and free will condition its receptivity of my grace, the effectiveness, efficacious grace. Whereas the cross has the virtue of disposing the soul to receive my grace, end quote. Mm-hmm. So she said, oh no, let's not mention that. But yes, let's mention that. That's volume 3. That carries the church's imprimatur and the nihil obstat, which meant that they found no error in that. So yeah, it makes sense if you look at it. When we receive the Eucharist, depending on our disposition, depending on our state of mind, depending on our state of grace, the efficacy, the effectiveness of the grace that's contained in the Eucharist can be diminished. And not God diminish it, but we diminish it. We put up those barriers. Whereas the cross, as we let our defenses down, as we give all to God, as we respond appropriately, God says he's conditioned us to receive full grace. And therefore, there's more efficacious grace in the cross than there is the sacrament. Now, again, I do agree with, if you're meeting someone for the first time, you know, Maureen, you may not want to blur out, you know, the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. That's probably not the best way to lead off the conversation, but it is for somebody who's read or discussed the divine will a bit, and then they can appreciate the truth. Because again, the knowledge has come into our intellect. They hopefully reside in our memory. And then through the grace of God, that's all converted into wisdom. And then what does God say about wisdom? I had something here about wisdom too. Well, let's just read wisdom. Wisdom 6, 12 through 16. I'm just going to read a little bit here. Resplendent and unfading is wisdom, and she is steadily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire. End quote. So we know that grace anticipates the soul, so wisdom will anticipate our desire. God knows when we're going to want this, when we're going to desire this, when we're going to loathe for this. And that's when he's going to give it to us. No sooner, no later. It's just so beautiful. We have everything, and every day is Christmas. Maureen, any comments?
Well, I had a priest friend say to me one day, he said, only said to me, I don't know why he said it to me, but he said, you know, when you're on the cross, you're safe. That's all he said. So I've been thinking about that a lot. And maybe the listeners, just keep that in your mind. I mean, just think about your life and different times in your life when you were on the cross or when you had a cross, or you're in a spiritual way, you are safe. And also, with divine will, everything that we read is exactly, you don't really have to go into depth. If Jesus says, this is what happened, you don't have to say, now let's see, what does that mean? It means exactly what he says. If he says, this is going to happen, you don't have to go depth into the depth of it. You just say, oh, this is what happens. Okay, period. Because it's we're going into a different dimension. So if we get lost in like the hows and I don't know, we'll get lost. And I think that's what makes the divine will easy to read. If he says it, he means it. Don't try and explain it in a human way. This is what, like the knowledges, when you read the knowledges and the truths, you're like, well, how does that happen? Well, it just does. It does. And that's what came to me last week. Don't go too deep into it because then you make it hard. It's really not hard if we try to, if we say to ourselves, this is Jesus speaking to us, listen to what he says and believe it. And eventually you might come to understand it in a deeper way, and that'll come, but not to get too technical. You know, when you get too technical, you'll lose the beauty of it. And this is another dimension. It's a heavenly dimension. So read and enjoy and not to worry.
I agree 100%. Because again, we're going to take so much valuable time away from trying to philosophize and try to figure it out ourselves. We cannot.
No, we can't.
This is only understandable from a divine perspective. It's only possible from divine grace. So to your point, we read it, we absorb it to the best of our ability, and then we let God take it to where he wants to, when he wants to. And this reminds me of what St. Hannibal said. St. Hannibal said when he was talking about reading every day, he says, I'm going to paraphrase, I only read 1 to 2 passages a day. He says, because I want to fully understand to the best of my ability, again, without going into detail, without going into the depth of trying to forget every single word, but he wanted to understand it to the best of his ability. And then let God do. It's just sort of like meditation. It's our job to take what we receive from God and from our Blessed Mother and to meditate on it and to take our meditation to its finite level. I mean, there's only a certain amount of meditation we can do. When we reach that level, when we've sort of maxed it out, for lack of a better phrase, we then rely on the grace of God, which he will give us to allow us to go into a contemplative mode in which he will explain the language of heaven. It's only in that contemplative mode. And that's not a place we can go on our own. It's only through grace. It's a mystical gift, but it is given to those who want it. And if we've taken the meditation to as far as we can, we're proving to God that, yes, we've done what we can. We want more. And he's going to give it to us when we need it, when he wants to. It's so beautiful.
And we have our whole, it's our whole life. It's not something that you ever put down. So you don't have to rush to get through this book. Your whole life, you'll be reading it.
Yeah. And then after. When we die, we're going to be doing this for the rest of eternity. That's a really long time.
So don't rush. There's a long time to go.
Mother Gabriel and I, we kid around a lot. We're in the kindergarten of the divine will.
Yes.
We're always going to be in the kindergarten for the rest of our life and for eternity. But that's okay because we learn a lot of good stuff. You know, you were mentioning about how God takes it to the level and how we need his grace. I was just reading also about, you know, about how sublime and how these gifts, how these understandings, and we're talking about perhaps something taking time where we reflect on it and then we let God speak to us. And that could take time, but it also can be instantaneous. I mean, Louisa said that Jesus reveals to her in an instant things of a supernatural nature and that are learned. But Louisa often confessed that these truths were difficult to communicate to others. And that reminds me of what Father Iannuzzi stated on a Radio Maria program, I think it was back in 2021. He says, really, I mean, this is profound if you just meditate on this also. The divine will is very difficult to explain to others in words, but very easy to understand once we accept it. Because it's in that accept, it's when we say fiat that God says, okay, I'll give you more. Okay. or fiat again, I'll give you more. And that's when he's going to continuously give us that feed of information, that feed of understanding. Whereas, how do you take divine realities? I mean, God has lowered himself to our level just to communicate with us through our vernacular. But the meaning behind the words he's using is way beyond the definition of the words he's using.
Yeah.
And we are not thesauruses. We are not dictionaries. We
Right.
cannot do this on our own. It's a mystical gift. And again, we know mystical gifts are not given equally, like our baptismal gifts. They're given by God to whomever he wishes, when he wishes. So again, if we want this, we have to pray for it. And we have to show God when he says, you know, I love when Father Celso says, believe it and then prove it. Prove it to God that you want this. And how we do that? Well, if we have access to the volumes, read it, listen to it. We have to. You know, again, to receive the gift of the divine will, one does not have to possess the volumes. One does not have to read the volumes. That would be Gnosticism. Oh, you can only get it if you have this. No, God can give it to whoever he wishes, whenever he wishes. But the caveat is, if he's made these writings available to us, which he has, everyone listening right now has access to them. He is expecting us to read them. He is expecting us to listen to them because he's given us the shortcut. He's given us the way, the how, and the why, all contained in what he's given Louisa. And he's given it to Louisa to give to us. So we have everything we need. It's only a matter of time, if we want it. That's what's so beautiful about it. And the journey, Maureen, you know, we're talking about the journey is so beautiful because every day we're going deeper. Now, we may not feel like we're going deeper. I may feel today like I felt yesterday. I'm still confused. I'm still disoriented about this. But every day he's making progress. And then we're going to be surprised. And I know everyone has probably experienced this. You've been, you know, pondering something or you've been reading something numerous times. And all of a sudden, one day or one evening, it starts to click. You say, well, now it's making sense. Or maybe the 17th time we read something, God has decided, okay, you're showing me that ardent desire. You've proven to me what you want. I'm going to give it to you. And here's the understanding. And every time we get the understanding, we're recognizing that there's nothing greater than this. There's nothing for any of us to aspire for greater than this. No more chasing butterflies. Again, that doesn't mean we cannot do what we used to do, but we need to first, like Jesus says, give up holy things. Initially, come under the umbrella of the divine will, because then we go back to doing those devotions or whatever we were doing, those good, holy things. Now we're doing it in the divine will. And like you said, Maureen, it's a whole different dimension. Now we're doing it on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future. But it takes us to possess the gift first. He says all those times, I forget what volume it's in, but he says, for those supplications that we're doing everything on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future. But that cannot be effective unless we possess the gift ourselves. He says something to the effect where we cannot give something we don't own. And yeah, we can look at a silly analogy. If I'm leasing an automobile and I want to give you the automobile, Maureen, I can't. Yeah, it's my automobile, but I don't own it to give it to you. But if I own it outright, I have the title in my hand, then I can do what I wish. I can give it to you. So we must possess it first. We must own the divine will, as God wants to give us ownership of it, ownership, you know, term I'm using right there, but we have to possess it first. And then our prayers will be answered to be able to do it on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future. And that, to me, God has given us all the greatest opportunity to become humble heroes. I mean, who doesn't want to become a hero? I don't mean a hero with his name in lights or in the newspaper, but to do something good for someone else. Well, this is beyond our imagination, to be able to effectuate a positive change through the grace of God, all souls, past, present, future. I mean, I can increase, you know, the accidental glory of St. Paul in my actions. Yes. St. Peter. Yes. St. John Paul II. Yes. Just by our simple fiat. It's extraordinary. And now I understand, you know, I'm listening to you sound crazy, Pete. I understand now why some people who are not disposed can look at this and say, I don't want any part. No, this sounds too good to be true. I can't do it.
Well, it's like the very reasons that they don't want to, the very reasons that they're saying no way are the very reasons that the people who believe are saying, isn't this wonderful? You know what I mean? We're taking it the right way. They're taking it the wrong way, but it's the same sentence. It's the same wonderful thing that they just read. They went, no way. Of course. And we're saying, yeah, it's true. So it's all, how you
He
read it
said
and how you
that
believe it.
Jesus said that. He said that again, volume 36, I don't know the date. He said the divine will has two opposite effects. He says, for those who are disposed, it's light and life. But for those who are not disposed, it's blindness. They're not getting anything. And that's why I can understand someone saying, well, I don't get it. It's nice, but thank you, but no thank you. Again, because you really have to want this. And I don't think you have to want the divine will specifically. Well, that would be great. But I think, Maureen, it comes down to, do we aspire for something greater for God, not for ourselves? Do we want to please God? Do we want to make God happy? Do we want to make God, look at us and say, good work, my brother or my sister? Are we aspiring for that? And I think if we're aspiring for that, God is going to give us for what's available at the time. Again, 100 years ago, it wasn't available. It is available now. So we are truly living in the greatest times. And this is the greatest time to be alive. And for us to miss that opportunity, and then we can even go into detail, but I'm not going to now, to understand that there's three comings of our Lord. Again, this is another thing you probably don't want to blurt out first. There are three comings of the Lord because a good Catholic's going to run away. But Saint Bernard of Clairvaux speaks about it. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem speaks about it. Numerous other church doctors talk about it, about this third coming. And the third coming lies between the two. The first coming came 2,000 years ago. The second coming will come at the end of time, when he comes in his glory. But this third coming, this intermediate coming, is right now. And I ask Father Nuzzi this point blank: is this intermediate coming right now? Is it because and through the gift of the divine will? And he says, absolutely. So can you imagine? Can you imagine if here we've been waiting for the boat to come in, the rowboat to come in, and here comes the Queen Mary, and we miss it? I think there's no way we can explain this to our Lord when we get to the gates of St. Peter and say, I gave it to you.
Well,
Why didn't?
look at the first coming. I mean, no one was there but a couple shepherds, or the three kings. So we can put ourselves in their shoes. Maybe we're a shepherd. Maybe we're a little shepherd. Maybe we're a king. But we're at the manger because it's another coming, and it may be a greater coming. I don't know. I mean, there's so much more people in the world, and it's big. This is really big.
Well, so Saint Cyril says, he doesn't mince words. He says this second coming will be of a divine glory. I forget the words he used, but it's exactly the divine will. So in essence, it's there could be nothing greater. I mean, God had to come to give this to us, but now he's saying, okay, if you take my birth and the greatness and the spectacularness of that, now, couple it with what I'm doing in each and every one of you, I'm taking you all home with me. I mean, if we think about it, we're on the road with Mary. We really are. And we have to respect that in a very, very humble way. It's just absolutely
And
beautiful.
he also Father also Celso also talks about how the second coming of the Holy Spirit, this baptism of the Holy Spirit that's coming, is going to make the first Pentecost look like a little, party, or I don't know what he says, but it's small compared to what's coming. This Pentecost, this new Pentecost that's coming. So it's the first Pentecost was wonderful, and 3,000 were baptized, and the church was it's the first t days of the church, but this is going to be even more spectacular. So, as he says, good things are around the corner. And
I think
I
he,
love the divine will because it's the answer to the evil, the
yeah.
things that are happening outside, and we see
Only
things that are
antidote.
happening.
Only antidote.
Yeah, and we're like, huh, we should see what we have, and it's the greatest weapon there is.
Yeah.
And so,
That's true. I think he uses the phrase, the first Pentecost will look like a drop in the bucket. I think he uses
okay,
that
that's what,
phrase. But it really will, because it'll pale compared to that. And you know what? There's a similarity also. Remember, at the first Pentecost, who did the disciples gather around? Who were they looking to guide? It was our Blessed Mother. She was basically leading the Pentecost. Well, this second Pentecost will be no different. She's also at the helm. Jesus says to my mother, as I cannot deny her anything she asks of me, nothing. Again, you want to buy something, you go to the distributor. You can't go to the manufacturer. So we have to go to Mary for what God wants to give us. That's what he wants. That's not what
Yeah.
I want, what Maureen wants. That's what God says we must do. So I thought we'd jump down, Maureen. This is what we did last week. We got through halfway on the chastisements. Why don't we read in the red? I will not interrupt you, I promise. We'll stop at the end there, and then we'll start the new material before we run out of time. That's okay. I'll
Okay.
bring out the
Oh, yep.
pointer if I can.
March 14th, 1899. The evil of man forces God to chastise him. This morning, my most sweet Jesus, transporting me with him, made me see the multiplicity of the sins that are committed. They were such and so many that it is impossible to describe them. I could also see a star of enormous magnitude in the air, and within its roundness, it contained black fire and blood. It would strike so much fear and fright in looking at it that it seemed that death would be a lesser evil than to live in these times so sad. In other places, one could see volcanoes with more mouths opening, which are also to inundate the country nearby. One could also see sectarian people who will go on causing fires. While I was seeing this, my lovable but afflicted Jesus told me, "Have you seen how much they offend me and what I keep prepared? I am withdrawing from man." And as he was saying this, we both withdrew into my bed, and I could see that because of this withdrawal of Jesus, men would give themselves over to more awful actions, more murders. In a word, I seemed to see people against people. Once we had withdrawn, Jesus seemed to place himself in my heart, and he began to cry and sob, saying, "O man, how much I have loved you! If you knew how I grieve in having to chastise you! But my justice forces me to this. O man, how I cry and grieve over your lot." Then he would burst into tears, and again he would repeat those words.
We also mentioned about in the dissertation on pages 264 and 265, Father Nuzzi has extracted from the different volumes and different passages examples of the chastisements that are going to occur. And it's interesting to read. It's moving, and it's compelling as to why we have to move into positive territory, because it could get very, very bad. Yes, it might be mitigated because of all the work that all the little children of the divine will are doing and continue to do, but it could be very bad, worse than we ever dreamed. I have one quick comment though. When it says here that Jesus, that it seemed that death would be a lesser evil than to live in these times so sad. I remember the words of Our Lady of Akita, where the living will envy the dead. Think about that. Many will think it better to die than to live in these harsh times. Of course, we won't think that way, because we're going to recognize the cross as being the way we can be brought back to the promised land, back to the fatherland, back to the kingdom, where God wants us to be forever. Okay, so continuing with this same passage, though, this is the new material, Marina. We've got a couple crosses here, not many.
Okay. Who can say the pity, the fear, the torment that arose in my soul, especially in seeing Jesus so afflicted and crying?
Okay, right here, Jesus talks about this too. He doesn't want to do this, but he must do this. It's like the parent, and Maureen, I know you've gone through this. We've never discussed it, but we've all had to, anyone's a parent there, we've had to invoke a tough love. It's something that we knew, or we're going to temporarily hurt our children or displease our children, but we knew we had to do it for a greater good, either for greater protection, for a greater lesson, or whatever the case may be. We had to do the tough love. Same here for God. He has to be a just judge. And he would be a hypocrite if he didn't. So again, and also, God has to wake awaken us. I mean, I tell a silly story about when I was growing up. My girls were small. It was difficult getting them up for school sometimes. So I used to blast Pavarotti or do what I had to. I actually had to drop water on them, which my wife didn't like, because I used to get the bed wet. They would get up screaming, but they would get up. I mean, did I like doing that? Not really. But at least I was able to get them out of bed. See, God has to shake us. He has to awaken us. And sometimes we need to be falling or hurt or witnessing atrocities in order to wake up and say, okay, this is it. See, evil is so, it's so interesting. Evil will push itself to the level where people will either recognize it, because again, we all have good nature in us. It may be muddied and covered. And the one brief example I'll give is, They made a movie of Liberace's life, and you know, he was a homosexual, active homosexual, and Kurt Douglas, I think, started it. Well, the movie was so graphic, so repulsive, because they were actually showing some horrible, horrible scenes, that the directors and producers decided not to air it in the United States, because they feared that if people really caught a glimpse of the reality of this sin, that they would be appalled to it, and it might change their way of thinking. So they only used it in Europe. So see, there's a certain point when our inner self, there's a trigger that says, okay, wait, this is not right. I mean, people that are on the wrong side of the track sometimes, you know, or making the wrong decisions, you know, whether it be, you know, defund police or don't use, you know, gas stoves or something crazy like that. Sometimes they think they're doing good. I mean, Jesus, our Blessed Lady said, if Fatima, there'll come a time, there'll be a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad. Bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. So again, they're going to come to the point eventually where they're going to say, no, this is not right. They're sort of going to come out of their trance and realistically decide that what I'm doing is not in the better interest of people. Because again, I think people inherently are good, but again, confused, disoriented, and many are following the wrong leader. They're following Satan, knowingly or unknowingly. But I just thought that was very powerful. Tough love. It's tough, but God has to do it. And it could get, that's why we need each other. We really need this divine love more than ever.
I did as much as I could to hide my sorrow. And in order to console him, I said to him, O Lord, it will never be that you chastise man. Holy spouse, do not cry. Just as you have done the other times, you will do now. You will pour it into me. You will make me suffer. And so your justice will not force you to chastise the people. Jesus would continue crying, and I would repeat, but listen to me a little bit. Have you not put me in this bed so that I may be a victim for others? Have I perhaps not been ready to suffer the other times so as to spare creatures? Why do you not want to listen to me now?
Here, Luis is giving a great example of, you know, we talk about, Jesus says, I think it's in volume 6, to enter into this gift, which is very easy, state of grace, ardent desire, upright intention. What does that basically mean? Well, we go to confession, we go back into the state of grace. Number two, ardent desire. We really want this. I mean, if we want to know what God wants to see as far as an ardent desire, you can go to the website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and look under the Divine Will Visual Aids. We've Father Newsy actually did it. He took out all the excerpts of what Jesus says constitutes an ardent desire. What are the ingredients contained in an ardent desire? And they're pretty common sense. There's a couple that may throw you a bit, but these are the things he's looking for. So state of grace, we have control over that. We can go to confession or not go to confession. Ardent desire, yes, we can desire this. We know what that means. Upright intention, exactly what Louise is doing here. She wants it for God first, and then she wants it for other souls. She's thinking of herself last, and that's the upright intention. And that's what we need to have in order to, again, to get this gift. And again, to get the gift, to enter into the gift is not placing us at the point of Louisa, although God can do that if he wishes. But in most instances, it's just going to be, it's entering the door. We're in the foyer. But remember, Jesus says, I forget what volume that's in also, that the majority of the gifts and graces that he wants to give us, we must be inside the divine will in order to receive them. So what we've received outside is spectacular. Once we enter in, state of grace, ardent desire, upright intention, once we're inside, that's when the bulk, the majority, the biggest of all graces are going to be given to us once we're inside. And it's not that difficult to get inside. as Jesus takes.
But with all my poor speaking, Jesus would not calm himself from crying. So, no longer able to hold it, I too broke the dike of my crying, saying to him, Lord, if your intention is to chastise man, I too do not have the heart to see creatures suffer so much. Therefore, if you truly want to send the scourges, and my sins no longer make me worthy to suffer in the place of others, I want to come, I want to be on this earth no more. Then the confessor came, and as he called me to obedience, Jesus withdrew, and so it ended. The following morning, I kept seeing Jesus withdrawn within my heart, and I saw that people would come, even inside my heart, and would tread upon him and trample him underfoot. I would do as much as I could to free him, and Jesus, turning to me, told me, Do you see where the ingratitude of man reaches? They themselves force me to chastise them, and I cannot do otherwise. And you, my dear one, after you have seen me suffer so much, may you hold crosses more dearly and pains as delights.
And Jesus states, he placed more grace in the cross than he did in the sacraments. Again, another truth, not to start off a conversation with, I suggest for people may run, but he placed more grace in the cross because in the cross we are disposed to receive the efficacy, the full efficacy of the grace. Whereas otherwise, when things are going well, we get pretty emboldened and we think we're somebody sometimes unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. So a lot said there, a lot of good stuff, but again, we have to keep our guard up, and we have to make the best use of time while we have the time, the freedom to do what we can, when we can, and where we can. Any other thoughts, Marie?
Well, that last sentence just really hit me personally, like, okay, I'm ready, Lord. I mean, we don't suffer like Louisa, but stop grumbling, stop murmuring, stop rolling my eyes or whatever I do. I don't know. Instead of reacting to suffering the way a human being does, pushing it away or running away, you embrace it. And there's so much power in it, quietly embracing it. So now,
I think some of the things that we're going through right now in this world turned upside down, it's going to be so pale compared to what's going to occur. I mean, I've heard of people being put in jail for calling a woman because she wanted to be called something else. I mean, it's insane. And they treat these as almost violent offenses and criminal acts. And can you imagine when these child, I mean, some of the chastisements, you know, volcanoes enveloping cities, destroying, you know, countries, you know, things of this nature. If people can't handle being called what they don't want to be called, can you imagine when these things happen? I mean, my father was born in 1910. He was 19 years old when the stock market crash in the United States happened. And he said, as a young man, he witnessed in New York City people jumping out of windows. He saw them because they had a loss of their earthly fortune. He says it was catastrophic. It was you know, like you're watching a movie. But again, things can get very bad. But again, we have a job, and we know in the end that doesn't matter how many torpedoes our ship gets hit with, we know we're going to float, and we may be battered, but God is going to protect us. And he says point blank, he says those journeying and living in the divine will have control over the elements. That's exactly the words he used. And Adam, remember, Adam had control of the elements. He was able to say, you know, water stop, or wind stop, or rain stop. So again, and God also tells us too, at the end of all these chastisements, all countries will go back to God. So they will all succeed in their intended purpose. Again, God, I hope he didn't have to do this, but man has sort of forced him to do this because of lack of ingratitude, as he says here, not grateful for anything, and constantly abusing what we've been given. It's incredible. Well, we have a few minutes left. I'd like to open up the lines if anyone would like to comment about today's material or anything about what we discussed. Let me just come here, and I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves if they'd like to. No pressure here, but if you'd like to say something or if you have any comments and or tell me I'm wrong about something, I'd love to hear it. Anybody? Janet, nothing today? Not to put the pressure on okay. Well, if there's nothing, I've got something to share. You may or may not be aware of this, but this is coming up in February. I think everyone will be happy. We had a Divine Will retreat, the first one at the Malvern Retreat Center, which is the largest, oldest privately owned retreat center. It's absolutely fabulous. I had my first visit there last year, and it's incredible. I mean, it's like a huge, I mean, it's like a huge, beautiful inn with religious rooms and beautiful grounds. It's extraordinary. It's a once in a lifetime experience. But we had that in, I think it was July of last year. So there's another one this February. It's going to be February 9th through the 11th. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It'll just be Father Celso. So you'll have all Father Celso for those 3 days. And you see the cost there, and you see the website. I'll send this out also in the email to call and make reservations. They have, I think, a capacity of 350 people for this retreat. And I heard that they've got half the retreat sold, and it's only been open for about a week. So if you'd like to register, please do so. If you can't, no worries, because again, God is everywhere. The retreat will be everywhere. And Jesus gave us the perfect example with Louisa. She was told to stay in bed and look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. So if we can't make it, fear not. God is not expecting all of us to make it, but some of us want to make it. Some of us can make it. And if that's the case, then, I'll perhaps see you there. I think I'll be there on maybe Saturday morning for a couple hours to say hello to everyone and then leave. But it should be a great time. Again, I think they're going to try to make this a twice a year event with the Divine Will Retreat Center series. And my personal opinion is that Malvern has been blessed. I mean, Malvern's been blessed for years with what it's done and how many souls it's brought to our Lord. And now that they've embraced the divine will, I think they're going to receive grace and graces way
Oh yeah.
beyond their expectations. And who knows, this may become an East Coast Divine Will Retreat Center and be known for that in a very relatively short period of time. So we'll see. So if you need any other information on this, just send us an email at marieshill@queenofthedivinewill.org, and we'll get you the information that you need. Going to close, Maureen, if I'd like to, with a quote from Saint John of the Cross. You'll be talking about wisdom. We'll be talking about mysticism, and this is what Saint John of the Cross states in his prologue. Quote: "Mystical wisdom, which comes through love, does not have to be understood distinctly in order to produce love and affection in the soul, for it is similar to faith, whereby we love God without understanding him. The role of love in mystical knowledge is primary, but love does not need distinct knowledge of an object. The mode of faith suffices, wherein God is loved without clear knowledge. Such is the function of faith as that of an obscure and general knowledge." End quote. So I think Maureen touched on this. We don't have to understand it fully. We don't even have to understand it well. We just have to realize and recognize that this is the greatest, not only the greatest gift that God has given to mankind, but it's the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. There's nothing greater. So there's nothing we should be looking for. There's nothing we should be reverting back to. God has used all kinds of vehicles to bring us here, whether it be the Dominican, the Franciscan, the Carmelite orders, the Marian movement of priests, the flame of love. Everything has been as a mode, as a means, a way in which a path to bring us to the gift of living the divine will. And those are the words of Jesus. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks, Peter.
And we'll see everybody when we'll see it. Well, we'll be back. Maureen and I will be back on Friday evening at
Right.
7 p.m. And tomorrow morning, if you're available at 11 a.m. on the on Radio Maria, we will have Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters that are coming to us live from Maryville, Tennessee. Okay. Love everyone. God bless everyone, and
Everybody.
Love one another because we're going to need each other much more than we've ever envisioned. Okay. God bless everyone.
Bye-bye.